Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast, your number one Orlando City podcast for the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. I'm your host today, Jason JJ Jose, along with my two buddies. We have Cleon, who's on the injured reserve, unfortunately, and then Alex is on duty for his national team, and then Alex the Squag Brown is taking referee lessons and trying to pass his referee UEFA / FIFA test. So we have the other two guys here along with me. Eddie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. But poor Alex, you made him into a pro referee, and he's trying to, you know, he's literally trying to take the
pro. I said UEFA and FIFA. UEFA.
Oh, okay. You gave him at least you gave him the top level.
I gave him top level instead of pro referee.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, I'm doing good, man. Coming off of beating Atlanta, both swept. Even the OCB took care of business. I was just delightful. So I'm excited. Leagues Cup this week. A lot of fun. You know, it's a good time to be an OC fan, I think, right now.
Awesome. And then on the other side, I got Mike. What's happening, Mike?
Not much, man. Feeling good, dude. Beating Atlanta on the road. There's nothing, not much that feels better than that, you know? Exactly. We've only done it once before, and this time we got to do it in a way that their fans got to watch it happen. So feel good about it.
Awesome. We're going to play a game here on Orlando Lions Den podcast here today. Basically, whoever says the word, okay, whoever says a word, I'm not even going to say that word, will be muted for at least 30 minutes. Oh. And you guys know the word.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Okay.
It rhymes with Pessy.
Yes, exactly. So we're not going to say that word at all. I think
everything MLS has been saying that word enough for all of us for the rest of our lives. I went over to the Instagram page for the league, and like 15 of the last 21 posts were about that word.
All right, it looks
like I'm done, man. I'm good.
All that for a person's got zero personality, you know?
Yeah. And doesn't even know how to speak English. All right. So let's go to our sponsors real quick. FieldTurf USA. If you watch the beating that we put on Atlanta there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that field is FieldTurf. And yes, we did not get invited this year because we were bad juju. And look at it. We didn't go, and Orlando City wins. FieldTurf, thank you. So send us somewhere else next time. LA.
That might be the biggest contribution we've made to the club after all these years. Just not showing up to Atlanta so they can win.
There you go. And then we got you, Eddie Comparian. If you need any insurance, I've talked about it here. My homeowner's insurance didn't go up. I mean, it did, $100 whoop-de-doo, but it didn't go up drastically like everybody else's. Eddie's been taking care of me, takes care of my auto. And even though my auto went up higher, but it's the cheapest out there, to be honest with you. I can't find anywhere. And Eddie's been looking for me and everything. So, Eddie, thank you. And if you need anything, homeowners or auto insurance or whatever insurance you need, get with Eddie. Eddie will take care of you at that. And then we have
Epic Leo. Mortgage.
Epic Mortgage. I knew it was I knew he changed. Epic Mortgage. If you're interested in your getting refinanced or anything like that, get with Leo Gonzalez at Epic Mortgage, and he will take care of you. Anybody else am I missing?
That's it for now, I think.
That's it. All right. Let's see here. Let's head on and talk about basically Atlanta. Let's talk about Atlanta. I thought it was going to be a disaster, you know, after they scored the first goal in the 22nd minute by Wiley. Then it all changed with the big header from Antonio Carlos in the 25th minute. with the nice, it was a dead ball situation. It was a foul. We got it, put it in there. Antonio Carlos with his big head passed the big stiff Guzman, whatever his damn name is. And then in the 60th minute, Duncan Maguire, where you heard it first. Orlando runs on Duncan right here with Alex Rider saying it in preseason. Scores in the 60th minute. We go up 2-1. Great tactics and substitutions by Poppy. I think he did great. He brought in Ramiro right in the basically in for I can't even think Maguire. So he changed an attacker for an attacker, and he didn't think about, you know, basically parking the bus. And then he brought in Martin Ojeda. And then in the 75th minute, you know, then that's when he started thinking about, you know, let's play defense down the last 15 minutes, which was great. Instead of parking the bus right at halftime, he did a great job. I give credit where credit's due, and Poppy did a great job on that. And your takes on the game, Eddie, what's your take on the Atlanta-Orlando game? Finally, we win in Atlanta. We're up on the table. We're right now in fifth place with 37 points. We're basically a game behind of Nashville, and they're falling apart. They're going downhill. So a victory, and basically Philadelphia also with 40 points, and they're at 23 games. So we're right there at the halfway mark. You know, we're going to be a month off now, and Orlando's sitting pretty, and we're basically 6 points from second place. And then we can take that second place, I think, also. So, Eddie, your thoughts on the Atlanta-Orlando game?
You know, I thought a lot of it went how I had kind of discussed last week. So they're going to really, you know, transition. They're going to get wide, sending crosses, getting behind with those wingbacks. And they were giving us trouble with that. Wiley and Brooks Lennon was cooking Santos for a little bit there. And Amada's good, man. No lie. That guy's nasty. But in transition wise, we weren't playing clean out of the midfield enough. So for a little bit there, you saw a lot of turnovers both of our fullbacks kind of turning the ball over a little bit. We lost the ball in our third with Caesar. Caesar just made a mistake. I thought he had space, and then they took the ball, got a kind of lucky goal after that. But other than a little spell, I thought we handled them really well. Their only goal against us at home was off a deflection. I think Pedro did his, you know, notorious kind of, you know, punch right back into the defense kind of thing and hit off of Kyle and then scored. And then this goal was preventable. Caesar just dribbles the ball, touches it. He just let it roll, and he got pickpocketed, you know. And that's something to be said, man. We really could have 6 points against Atlanta. Home and away. And I thought Wilder and Cesar did a really good job in this match with Amada. I thought they were physical with him. I thought they teamed up well. Kyle would come in and gang up on Amada. It was physical. Mauricio, to me, bossed it in that match. He had a great game on both sides of the ball, so to speak. Duncan, man, I said it last time. I said Duncan's the kind of guy where he's got that dog in him. Duncan's the kind of guy who scores against Atlanta. That's a guy who knows your rivals and scores on them. So that was just great. And how calming is it to see him come in, go in on goal? He's such a good finisher, right? When that absolute dime by Mauricio to Duncan, I was like, he's going to make this. And he embarrassed Guzan. Guzan stood there paralyzed, looking like he was constipated and fell over. Like a clay statue, and just stood up with all the bees from our lovely sponsor Field Turf all over his body. and I liked that they brought in Ojeda for, you know, brought in some offensive substitution. We didn't, like you said, JJ, we didn't just park it. Cause Atlanta, I said it last week, Atlanta is going to get shots. They're always going to get a shot. After we went up 12-1, after we went up 2-1, they got 12 shots to our one after that. Crazy, right? It's a crazy stat. But none of them really got through. Pedro only had to make a couple of saves. And then at the end, I said it before, Pedro had to bail us out and win it for us. And I mean, Pedro, that free kick, yeah, granted, he went the wrong way, but still, it was a good save.
Save of the year.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was a two pointer right there, man. That save and to do it at the death and hear that groan at Mercedes Benz over there, that was fantastic. So overall, I'm very happy. I thought it was a good game plan. I don't think the issues coming out of the back, playing out of the back, were Oscar's fault. I do think we were just a little bit impatient, and at times when we had space, and then when we didn't, we weren't in play quick enough. The one critique I could say is that we don't really have these triangles to get out of pressure. You know, Orlando still, if you pressure us, counter press, it can be an issue. But, you know, right now, the way Mauricio's playing lately, I think, and Duncan and some of the talent we have on the break, we're really good. We're really good. And then what's it called? So I think Oscar had a good match overall. Good, you know, good job with the game plan and tactics. And I think the team just, what I like about it is it's tough, man. The team is tough. They stayed in it. They focused. I loved how they were down a goal and then they came back. And like Alex said, we want to steal a win. They scored right after that. That Carlos header changed everything. And if you look right now from Aaron Twitter, Orlando had played 12 matches that they never trailed and had a lead. 8 wins, 4 draws, 0 losses. 9 matches where they trailed is 2 wins, 0 draws, and 7 losses. One of those 2 wins was against Atlanta, where we trailed. So that's we've been scoring first almost every match. I think it's 9 out of 12 or 9 out of 13. The last 13, and this one we didn't score first, and then we came back and won it on the road. So fantastic win, perfect momentum to get to the Leagues Cup, to get, you know, make a run in Leagues Cup, and then you know, to jump on a tough schedule after the Leagues Cup is done.
All right, Mike, your thoughts on Orlando City against Atlanta and Mercedes-Benz? Is the team starting to gel?
Here's the thing. I thought the team had been starting to gel. I think we just kind of had a really bad showing against RSL. And outside of that, I mean, you got to look over the last 13 games, we've only had 2 losses. And you know, I'm not feeling too bad about those when they happened. I've been pretty transparent about that on the podcast. But no, this is a big one. You know, it got a little bit hairy at the end. Obviously, towards the end, we really kind of bunkered. We pulled off attackers for defenders, went 3 center backs, which I know a lot of the times used to be a moment where we put our tail between our legs and kiss our you-know-what goodbye. But in this instance, it ended up working out. We held on. Great save from Pedro right at the death. And another thing that people are missing, though, is it was still a little while before we decided to bunker and kind of let things go. Because if you remember, there was a right after we subbed on Ramiro Enrique, he had a great opportunity that he put off the post. I believe it was a cross that came in from Facundo Torres with his right foot, by the way, that Enrique put off the crossbar, and it had hella pace on it. So it was one of those things where Guzan stood no chance if it was just you know, an inch or two one direction. So no, I feel really good about this win. Duncan is him, for those that don't know and those that still doubt. Duncan is 100% certified a dog. That's DAWG. And he's got that dog in him. And everyone should give that respect. Obviously, Ryder came up with America Runs on Duncan. We all saw Duncan in preseason and immediately just started salivating because we had vibes of Daryl DK with how dominant he was. And, obviously, Duncan's doing that at an even faster pace because I don't know if you guys knew this. In less appearances and less minutes, Duncan has already equaled DK's goals total during his rookie season. and he still has, 11 or 12 games to go for the rest of the season plus the League's Cup. Yeah, we're going to be all right with Duncan as long as we can keep him in a purple jersey. So,
right. But,
go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish. I just want to ask you guys a question about Duncan.
No, I was just going to also just put a shout out to Captain Sexball. He made an appearance again. Came out of the depths. Mauricio, 2 great balls. That header by Antonio Carlos was an absolute missile off of his head. Then obviously that ball that he put through Duncan, obviously great run by Duncan. I don't know what the Atlanta defense was doing because, man, it was like Moses parting the Red Sea, like let my Duncan score, you know, like
right. you know what? I watched that back. You know what? Believe it or not, helped contribute to that. First, I mean, Mauricio carried it past 2 people, and one guy was right of him, And then he went with the left foot. That was just great. I remember like a reverse ball on his left foot to DK. Remember that? He one-timed it against Nashville, I think, or Columbus. He's good with that left foot. And Facundo Torres cut inside, was central, and then a center back stepped up to him. Then one of them caught peeking back at Mauricio, and then the other one kind of was in between, and Duncan just caught between there. So Kyle Smith kept the whiff for Facu. Facu came inside, smart by both of them, and then boom, Duncan. Duncan was from the beginning was a menace. Was giving him problems to center backs from the get go. And guys, go ahead.
I was going to say, no, he is a press god, but I will say one thing about him that I have to agree with Oscar Pereja on.
He's a bit of a puppy. He needs to chill.
No, sometimes he's got to check when he's making those runs, because sometimes dude is burning energy he does not need to burn. And the second that he figures that out, he's going to be playing 90 minutes. He ain't getting subbed off in the 60th to 75th minute.
Yeah, he's a little puppy. Like, bro, like, you relax. You don't have to run everywhere. Yeah, for sure.
I love the effort, but he burns some energy he doesn't need to burn sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and there's a certain someone that is, a lot of people think he's the greatest. If you watch him, he walks for like 95% of the game. So, you know what I mean? You could walk a little bit, Duncan. You don't have to, not everything needs to be 110%, So
if Eddie, you're going to ask us a question?
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Okay.
Yeah. We're just saying that. But also, I wanted to say, look, man, Urchin Kata, right? DMP. But, you're talking, dang, JJ, you're talking about subs. Ramiro on a counterattack, that's the right way to go, right? So that was a good call. But yeah, here's the question. Here's the question, not to get down the Urchin Kata rabbit hole. Okay, so the highest amount of goals, the most goals a striker, JJ, has ever scored under Oscar Pereja is 12 goals. Duncan's at 8 with 12 games to go. So let's just keep it in season. Do you think Duncan breaks the Oscar Pereja striker ceiling at 12 goals? Yeah. Where do you think he finishes at?
I say 15.
Ooh, that was the number I was going to pick.
15. That's it. Yeah. Double the goals from here going forward almost.
Well, that's basically 7 goals.
He had taken 6 shots without scoring, which is the most shots he's taken all season without scoring.
I can see. I mean, you're doing combined or just doing in season?
Oh, in season, not League Cup.
Not League Cup.
Yeah.
4. Yeah, I'll go 14, 15. Yeah.
Wow. Mike?
I'm sticking with 15. I believe 15? That. He's got a Hattie in him this season. It's going to happen.
Whatever the rookie of the year
into existence.
Whatever rookie of the year thing, award there is. I mean, he's a shoo-in for it, man.
There's nobody else.
No, they got rid of rookie of the year and replaced it with young player of the year.
Oh, so
they're just going to give it to Thiago Almada again.
Lame. Yeah. Whatever. All right.
Well, they always mentioned rookie of the year, no questions, like in the broadcast.
Lennon, they don't know. Yeah,
they don't know. They're working for Apple. Come on.
Jeez.
All right, let's go to stock up, stock down, guys. I'll go first with my stock up. Stock up in this Mauricio. I'll give it to him. Got the assist. Two assists, basically. Yeah. The two assists on the goals. He's been getting some bashing in the last few games. But he did it great. He did what he needed to do. He got us the assists. He got us the goals. So I'll give it to Mauricio. My stock down. I know section over there, section 3, is going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say Kyle Smith, man. He looked like a deer with looking at the headlights. He didn't know what the heck he was doing. And he scares me, man. Every time he has the ball, I'm like, pass it. I'm yelling at the TV, pass it. You're going to lose it. Just pass it. I mean, I just feel uncomfortable when he has the ball with him.
He feels uncomfortable with the ball, looks like.
Sometimes. Yeah, he just looks like I don't want the ball. I need to give it up.
And they did in order to help out with Almada to maybe to kind of counter-press and get numbers in the midfield. He did the Smithchenko. He inverted several times. He was inside. He was doing both, but But yeah, but he, him and I think even Santos getting playing on the back, they were just bad, man. Losing the ball. They had a bad.
And then with him coming in, and then, I mean, you could see Facundo didn't even want to pass it to him sometimes. Yeah. Kyle's wide open. He's like, man, do I have to pass it to him?
Yeah. So, yeah, but you're right about that. I saw the same thing.
Yeah. So Kyle Smith, stock down, stock up, definitely Mauricio. Eddie.
Stock up. You know, I think, yeah, Mauricio that had this probably was one of those best games he's had, maybe all season. You know, I thought Mauricio was really, really good. But Philadelphia was another good game he had, right? I'd probably say, but did this one against, you know, on Atlanta, against Atlanta on the road. And I thought that was just, I really liked the everything he had done. He did his contributions. He did a lot too on defense. He was just smart. And people underrate how physical he is. Man, he just came in and just checked Amada was out there dancing. Cause you know, he was spinning Cartagena and Araujo pretty good and boom, just came out. And I love that stuff. That's captain stuff. He's quiet as a captain, but that's captain too, letting people know, hey, I'm here too, you know? So I just appreciated that performance. That was vintage Mauricio. I've always been a fan of his. Stock down. I think the fullbacks, the stock up, little shout out to the double pivot. You know, they really, Amada really, really was dropping deep because he wasn't really having too many chances. You know, the free kick at the end was a chance, but throughout the game, they're blocking the shots. They were just, you know, pulling the shirt. They were just doing the dark arts the right way. The way I love it. They were pulling them, kicking them, sticking, double teaming him. You know, they did a great job on Amada. You look at Atlanta, you say, you know what, if Brooks Lennon beats me, whatever, Cato Wiley beats me, whatever, but Thiago Amada is not going to beat me, especially with Sakamakis or whatever out and coming in late, you know. Yeah what's his name, Mike
Giakoumakis.
Yeah, that was close. Hey, that wasn't JJ
bad. He's a Greek guy.
Yeah, Greek guy. Rodrigo, he got Rodrigo at the end. That was hilarious. But yeah, so I get a shout out to that double pivot. That changed our season, in my opinion. And then stock down, the full vacs, all of them, including Dagger Dan, because Dagger Dan was getting cooked. Oh my God. When he came in cooked. At the end, he was getting cooked. He's not a defender.
For Antonio Carlos being there.
Bro, Antonio. Oh, no, sorry. Stock up Antonio Carlos. I mean, great game. The header, couple great defensive plays in the box. You know, I'm a sucker for whenever Antonio Carlos tackles or blocks something and stands up, pumped up, I'm a sucker for that. I love it every single time. And I thought Antonio Carlos had a really good match. But yeah, Dagger Dan was getting cooked out there. Kyle Smith was getting cooked. Brooks Lennon, was cooking Santos too. So we had the fullbacks, and then they had a bad night. And you know what? I don't want to take it out on this dude, but if Faku does not play well against Atlanta, he doesn't. And everywhere we go there, he just doesn't have a good game. I think they mark him, or maybe it's just, I don't know what it is. It's just not a good fit. Whenever he's there, I just feel like he's just a little bit off. So I wouldn't say like totally stocked down, but he wasn't that involved. He didn't really make an impact.
The field. Well. Just say it's the field.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so that was big. That was a long list, but I'm done now.
All right. Mike, you're stock up, you're stock down.
So stock up is I'm just going to go strictly to Wilder Cartagena because he kept firmly in his back pocket Thiago Almada for the majority of the game. And I got to say, as MLS would announce, that is Argentine World Cup winner Thiago Almada. Obviously, you know, he played a total of 7 minutes, but he was there. So, but Wilder Cartagena obviously did a great shutdown job of him. I know I was in our group chat, man. As soon as he got that dumb yellow card after he was warned right at the end of the first half, I was like, man, I think you got to sub him off pretty early. Like, that's not good. He's going to try and coax him into another one. And he hung on and didn't get another one. So definitely impressed with that. And I'm going to just echo Eddie on my stock down. And that's the fullbacks, man. They kind of had a rough go about it. I'm happy that you mentioned that about Dagger Dan too, just because of the fact that I know some people were like, oh, he's doing so good. I was like, no, when he comes in that right back position, he is an attack minded player. So right. Like if he's playing in that role, his role is going to be to get forward. When you put him in that role and it's to defend, it is a little bit more of a liability. And he kind of showed that this time around.
Right. It's not natural to him, right? They kept getting behind him. He kept biting onto moves. He's not naturally a defender. This is where Mikey, if he started, Kyle coming in would have been a lot safer, right?
Yeah.
You're going to bunker. It doesn't feel good to have Dagger Dan as your right back, in my opinion.
No, I definitely agree with you. And it's one of those things that there's a rumor that popped up today. I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's true because there's another rumor that came up to debunk it, but that there was a right back that we were looking at. And it's one of those things where, you can kind of see a possibility for something like that because the right back has MLS experience. He's got European experience and he's American and still young in Brian Reynolds. He came up through Dallas. So Muzy and Pareja would be familiar with him from his time in the youth setup. And I think he's more athletic than Kyle. He's more experienced and seasoned than Mikey, and he is an actual true defender, which Dagger is not. So it's one of those things where I could see something like that making sense. I don't think it's happening. I think he's going back to Belgium, but to go along with the stock down, the fact that rumor was something that popped up that we were showing interest in him, makes sense. Cause it would have been a player that we would have brought in on loan and that just would have been it. So.
All right. So let's talk about now the League Cup, guys. League Cup's coming up this Friday, 7:30. Our first game is against the Houston Dynamo. Our other team that's in that group is Santos Laguna from Mexico. Our first matchup will be Houston. Houston has Hector Herrera, who's basically their main guy.
Ache. Yeah, that's just H twice in Spanish. HH.
I see. Yeah. Achi, achi. HH. Yeah. So Hector Herrera, who has 3 goals, 6 assists so far this year in MLS. And then they got also Franco, who has 2 goals. So, and then they got the defense. Guys, what do you guys think about this? The League Cup. Three teams from the League Cup go to the Champions League, the Champions Cup, CONCACAF Champions Cup now. They don't call it the Champions League, I guess, anymore. It's the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Does that also does the League Cup – I don't know. I didn't read this. I mean, I know that next year the World Cup – Club Cup also has like 32 teams or whatever from all over the world now. They're going to make it instead of like 6 or whatever it was. They're bringing in 32 or whatever. It's a high number of teams. Does CONCACAF just have the one, or are they going to have more than one on that? Do you guys know any of that information?
You said the Club World Cup?
Yeah, that's coming next year for 23, 24 or whatever it is. There's 32 teams.
I think because what's going to happen is they're actually going to be skipping the club, like the next edition of the Club World Cup. And it's going to be and that's when they're going to expand it after that. So I know that I think there should be at least 2 teams that end up getting into it from the CONCACAF region. I don't know if League's Cup's going to determine it, but obviously the Champions Cup's going to play a big factor in it. So realistically, if you want to try and get to that top tournament, you got to be there. So,
So guys, what do you guys think about this League's Cup? Is it something that we should go for, even though, I think we should? I mean, it's a Champions League or Champions Cup in there. What are your thoughts, Mike, on this League's Cup?
I'm excited for it. It's something that I think you absolutely have to take seriously, especially if Champions League or Champions Cup, which they changed it to now, is something that your team wants to compete in. Because frankly, right now, we're not catching Cincinnati to be top of the East or Supporters Shield, which is an automatic qualifier. So realistically, what is our best chance to get in? Our best chance to get in is most likely to either win MLS Cup or finish top 3 in Leagues Cup, because we're already out of the Open Cup. And this team has said repeatedly that they want to win trophies. They are built for this and they want to compete for this. So yeah, this is important. They absolutely have to go for it. And one of the things that I think I like the most about this tournament too is in the group stage. So obviously JJ mentioned we got Houston, we got Santos Laguna. If games end in a draw, both teams still get 1 point, but there's also a penalty shootout at the end of the game to get an extra point to the team that wins the shootout. So that's a fun little wrinkle that's added into it. So that way every game doesn't end, games can't end technically in a tie, similar to like how they do it in hockey where they have a shootout at the end. So same thing that they've been doing in MLS Next Pro. So I'm supportive of that because I think that's a fun little innovation to see how that goes. And also I like that, obviously the winner and the runner up get into the Champions Cup. And so does the third place team. So often when they do tournaments like this, they have a third place game and like, just no one cares. No one wants to watch two teams compete for third place. But now there's actually something that is worthwhile out of winning a third place game and the fact that you get that Champions League qualification spot. So I do like that they added that into it as well, because I feel like that's something that's good. And I think we have a good group. I think we should look forward to it. And yeah, I'll pass it off to Eddie before we kind of preview the game against Houston.
Yeah, no, I think the Oscar's a good cup coach. He's Open Cup was disappointing, but League's Cup is different. It's not in the middle of a regular scheduled MLS week, so we can play our best players. I don't see, like, you know, playing Mason or anything like that. We're going to go with our best 11, which is what we've been pretty much just seeing exclusively lately. I think the way we play, we're being tough to beat, and we're pretty solid defensively. I think it helps in this format to get to the knockout rounds. All you got to do is be, you know, in the top two teams in your group. We have Santos Laguna, who aren't having the best season this year. Houston Dynamo, they have some moments, but they haven't been, you know, really tearing it up as well. And I think we definitely should get into the knockouts. And I think the way we're set up too, and Pedro as our goalie in our history as a penalty in penalty shootouts, I think it's set up for us to really make a decent run at this. And I think we should take it seriously. The prize money is good. It's better than the Open Cup. It'll help legitimize Orlando City, put us on the map, you know, all on the whole continent. The Mexican teams can see that. Austria gets a little bit of revenge for his time in Tijuana too, which I think that'll be something he's going to be really wanting to do and focused on, just making sure we show up well. Santos beat us before off of a, you know, just kind of a probably savable goal. Then they just kind of parked the bus the rest of the way. And I think it'll be fantastic to beat them, get their little revenge on them. And I think this is just the league is obviously putting an emphasis on this. And this is a way to just kind of legitimize MLS, put Orlando City on the map as well. And it's good competition too, because there's stakes on the line. I think people are going to take it seriously. The fact that the league stopped for this means that there's no reason not to take it seriously. And MLS is about getting hot at the right time. If we could get hot in League's Cup, make a good run, we have a tough schedule when we come back. If we could get hot those final 12 games, then again, we get into the playoffs. Playoffs this time is 2 out of 3 in the first round, which I think is another situation that favors the way we play and the way Oscar coaches. So we get hot at the right time, man. Who knows what could happen? It's fun to dream a little bit.
Got a question about this League Cup. So how do they draw home and who plays away? Because I see Orlando's playing both games at home for Santos and Houston. Does that mean that are there any games in Mexico?
There are no games in Mexico. That's one of the things that, if you ask me, I think that the tournament needs to like expand on in future iterations, because that's what they did originally. Like when we played Santos in the version of it a couple of years ago, all the games were in the U.S. All the games are in the U.S. again for this version. And we're the top seeded MLS team in our group, so that's why we host both of our games. But obviously Houston versus Santos isn't something that's going to be hosted in Orlando. So they're actually, those teams are going to be traveling. Like that game will be played in Houston midweek. And then we have a 8-day break before we play Santos Laguna again at home. So.
And then how do they figure out with the, like to the next round, how is that figured in? Do you know that, Mike?
I
can hear Mike or no.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again. Go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So I actually don't know how that's going to factor in. I know that there's been talk that they're, depending on how we finish in the group, there was some chatter that I saw online of us possibly playing Inter Fort Lauderdale in the next round, if they were to advance, of course. But I don't know much about that. I don't know the way that it's going to work as far as that's concerned. So I unfortunately wouldn't really be able to tell you much about that. I haven't seen like how the bracket is supposed to shake down. I know that there's a bracket challenge that you can do through like MLS and the Leagues Cup website. Yeah,
but we would never play that Inter Fort Lauderdale team. That's from when I did the bracket thing.
Okay.
The only time would be if we made it, I think it was to the final or semifinal. Yeah, so because they would be in another section. So, yeah, because I heard the same thing that, you know, oh, we could end up playing, you know, the team down south or whatever. And I'm like, so when I did the bracket, I was like, we could end up playing. I'm trying to pull it up as we speak here. But, yeah, there's no it wasn't Miami or any of those that we would be playing or anything like that. Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, I filled out my bracket with my dream scenario of us making it to the final. And then I made it particularly poetic because I made us playing Tigres in the final because I feel like we were unjustly eliminated from the Champions League because of the fact that they still use the archaic away goals rule. So that's the narrative that I'm hoping for in the League's Cup is that we get all the way to the final and specifically beat Tigres in the championship. So.
Yeah. So I'm looking at it right now, the bracket, trying to get it to basically we're in the East in group.
In the South two is where we are.
And then, we're in the South group S2. So if we come in first place, we would play the second place winner of S4, which is Dallas, Charlotte, or I think it's Naxca, whatever the heck the team is. I think that's who it is. I don't know. It's one of the Mexican teams.
So it'd be Necaxa.
Yeah. If we come in second in S2, we would play Pachuca, the league Mexican champions. I guess they had a bye.
Yes, Pachuca and LAFC both had byes as the reigning champions.
So the only time we would play would be in the next round, say if we do beat Pachuca and Miami or Atlanta finish second and beat the winner of the Dallas would be in the next round we would face. If not, if say we finish second and Miami finished first, they would be in the top bracket. I think it would be, they would be in the top bracket S3, which is, no, they would be at, we would only face them in the, basically in the quarterfinal. So, yeah, I mean, they're in the same bracket. We could end up playing them, but it wouldn't be in the next round. It would be in the following round, depending on where they fall. So the round of 16, basically.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, LAFC is the MLS champion, so they get to buy also. They don't have to play anybody. They go directly into the round of, what is this, 8-16, I'm assuming?
If they get the buy, it's actually a round of 32, I believe.
32, yeah.
Yeah, round of 32, and then after that is 16.
Yep. Yeah,
the best group, I think, is America, Columbus, and St. Louis. Club America, Columbus, and St. Louis. That'll be
a rough one. I think. I also think the it's one of the West groups. I believe it's Rayados, Seattle, and RSL because RSL has just been, obviously they kicked the crap out of us, but they've been on fire in general. We've been a hot team over the last 13 games. They've been hotter. And they also just added some strong reinforcements. So I think that that'll be a tough group as well.
Right.
Yeah. Chivas Cincinnati isn't bad either with Sporting Kansas City, but Sporting is not that. I'm just even. I mean, I don't want to bring up the name. Never mind. I don't want to go on for 30 minutes. So, I mean, honestly, that Atlanta Miami Cruz Azul is going to be tough. Also,
that is. How far do you guys see us going in this League's Cup?
Who? Which one? Orlando?
Orlando City. How far do you see, what round do you see us? Do you think we could really get to the final?
If we win first, if we can get first and then play, a Charlotte FC Dallas that comes in second place, I think we'd win that. And then we end up playing possibly a Miami or Atlanta or maybe even Cruz Azul because they would probably come – I don't know what the heck with that group, who would come in first, to be honest with you. Probably Miami or Cruz Azul. And then I honestly think we can make it probably to the quarterfinals. I think we – and then I mean, I wish we make it all the way to the final and win the whole damn thing. But being realistic, I could see ourselves going all the way to the quarter, maybe even semifinals.
Yeah.
Because I think we could beat Miami. I think we can beat Atlanta, Cruz Azul. If we end up with them, that might be a little bit tough. A Mexican team, like Cruz Azul.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me,
I think so. I'm with you.
Oh, go ahead. You're good.
Go. Yeah, I'm with you, JJ. Depends if we win our first round. And we're the first out of our group, and who we play. But I could see us get into that Elite Eight, maybe to that quarterfinal or something, you know, if everything goes right. But I'm going to say that Elite Eight, we could make it to that.
I don't want to face a Mexican team like a Cruz Azul. And I definitely don't want to play Pachuca in the first, get second place and play Pachuca right on the first, you know, even though that's going to be here in Orlando, which would be phenomenal. And I'm assuming now looking at that, sorry, Mike, I'm assuming the winners are going to be the home team, except for that second place where Pachuca, because no games are in Mexico, would be here in Orlando, or if Orlando, wherever, you know. But I'm assuming the winners of each group will have the home games in the round of 32.
And yeah, then that's my assumption too.
And then after that, I don't know if they're going to flip a coin like the U.S. Open Cup does, or how they do it, whatever. But go ahead, Mike. What do you see Orlando City going? How far?
Obviously, like, it's one of those things that I think I'd love for us to win the thing, because obviously, you know, this is the first iteration where you got all of U.S. and all of Mexico involved. But I think round of 16 or quarterfinal would realistically be a good showing for us, as long as we get to that point. I think if we make it into the round of 16 and we went out there, I'd at least feel good about the fact that, you know, we took that time off of the league. If we go out of the group, obviously it'd be very disappointing. But, you know, I feel good about it. I think that the boys are going to be taking it seriously, and I'd love to see a quarterfinal or semifinal appearance like you, but I think round of 16 quarterfinals, probably a good spot to put our expectations given the form that we're in and playing games at home and whatnot right now. So.
Not all the Mexican teams are on here, right? Just a few. It seems like it's out of the league.
No, it's all of Liga MX.
It is?
Yeah. 18 teams.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. There's only 18 teams?
Yeah, because they got rid of promotion relegation.
So where's Tijuana? Are they even in? Oh, they are.
Yeah, they're, I think they got New York Red Bulls.
No, they got Philadelphia.
I knew they were up north.
There's two. Philadelphia has, so is it Quintaro?
Querétaro.
So there's two in that one. Two Mexicans.
Former home of Ronaldinho.
Yeah, I just love letting all the Mike do the Spanish corrections. It's just for,
there's some things that I know, man. I might be white as all heck, but there's things that
you're doing good. I'm like, you know what? It was good. I let it be. But it's that's what I'm saying. I'm letting you do it. You're doing good, you know?
Yes. Yeah, and then Austin has two of the Mexicans too. Juarez, and I don't know who the heck the other one is. Yeah, they got two. Okay, so you're right. The
purple one?
Yeah, it's Juarez. It's like a purplish one.
It's Mazatlan.
Mazatlan. All right, very good. Yeah. Well, we have our Mexican home guy here, Mike. As white as he can be.
Yeah, Liga Mike Equis over here. You know? Liga Dos Equis for this guy. All right.
Well, let's talk about the preview of the Houston game, first one, and maybe we'll have a Santos podcast also. But let's talk about Houston, guys. What do you guys see us against Houston? And, you know, I think Houston's also going to basically, you know, take it seriously, and they're not going to be like, you know, whatever. Even though there's rumors that the Mexicans aren't taking this seriously, but I don't know why they wouldn't. Reports out of Mexico state that they're not even showing the games there, I think, from what I understood. I don't know. But What do you guys think with Houston, the Dynamo in the Western Conference? My computer just crashed because I was trying to look at standings, where they were at, but I can't see anything.
I got you on that.
Yeah. Where are they at?
So currently they are ninth place in, or yeah, they are ninth place in the West overall. They're sitting on 29 points, negative five goal differential, 8 wins, 5 draws, 10 losses.
Okay. So basically, they suck. So what do you guys think of this match against Houston? I say we're going to slaughter them, to be honest with you. 8 p.m. Oh, it's an 8 p.m. start. Oh, even better. I thought it was a 7:30. 8 p.m. start on Friday night here at Explorer Stadium. Your thoughts, Mike, on this game?
So here's my thoughts. My thoughts immediately is this game is must win. Okay. As far as League's Cup competition, this is the must win one. You have to get points. You have to get all 3 points against Houston. Reason number one, is Houston are absolute cheeks on the road. I said their record just a moment ago, but in 12 road games, they are 1 win, 3 draws, 8 losses with a negative 16 goal differential. They've only scored 7 goals on the road this season. They are a home team. You got them on the road, beat them in your home stadium. You have to. Obviously, Ache is probably going to be a guy who's going to be excited for this tournament, playing against, you know, Mexican opposition. He'll be jazzed for it. He'll save that energy for Santos Laguna, you know, take care of it there. I think he's with the is he with the All-Star team right now? I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, he's with the All-Star team.
So he's busy. He's not even training with his boys right now. He left them abandoned. He's in DC having a party against Arsenal at the moment. We didn't send any of our players to the All-Star game. And you know what? I'm perfectly fine with that. Let's keep everyone together, keep everybody focused. They're bad on the road. And we've been slowly improving our home form. We went from being one of the worst home teams in the East to now, on just home record alone, we're sitting in a playoff position in the East. And we're still the best road team in the East, which is obviously important too. This is must win. You need 3 points, and they're going to get it done. They're going to see what this Houston team's been struggling with on the road, and they're going to pick up the dub here.
All right. What about you, Eddie? What you think?
I think, no, Mike's right. It's a must win. And I don't think we've lost in the last 7 matches at home, right?
Yeah.
Right, Mike? Does that sound right? I don't think we've lost. Yeah, we haven't lost the last 7 at home. And the last loss was that DC, the DC loss. After that, the Galaxy, and then wins and draws since then. And we've turned it around at home. Houston sucks on the road. And their issue is scoring goals, man. Scoring goals. So what I see is Orlando City scores first. We score first. We usually control, and our record, like I stated earlier, is stellar. And then, you know, Oscar hasn't been just parking in at 1-0. Oscar's changed, man. That seat got hot, and the Poppy special is out the window, man. It's time, you know, he tried to get those second goals. And with Duncan on form like that, and I think we need to make sure we, you know, put a good number on Houston, get 3 points. If we get a draw against Santos, 4 points, that should be enough to win the group. I don't know. What's the second tiebreaker besides points, Mike? Goal differential?
I believe it'd be goal differential. Yeah.
Yeah. So they put 3 up on Houston, you know, take a 1-1 ugly, you know, US-Mexico kind of ugly game against Santos, you know. And I feel like we'll play a lot better knowing we have the win behind, you know, already 3 points in the group. We could play our game against Santos and not have to really push and impress and chase, because we need to get a win. That's not really our style. So this is definitely a must win. I think we're going to win. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to say 3-0 Orlando City. Woo! Against the Dynamo. Okay. I'm going to give a goal to my man Ojeda, and I'm going to give a brace to my man Duncan McGuire, man.
What's your final score there, Mike?
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me 2-0.
2-0, 3-0 for Eddie, 2-0 for Mike. I add those 3 plus 2 plus 0. That's five. So I'm going 5-0. I think we're going to put a spanking on Houston that they never, they're not going to be like, oh, we don't want to even play in this League Cup anymore after Orlando.
That'll be great. That'll be
so fantastic. 5-0 Orlando wins.
Who's getting the hat trick?
Duncan gets the hat trick in his first League Cup game.
Man, this kid is so good, though, right? It's just, oh, man.
So I love this 5-0.
JJ, I never forget at that preseason game, though, right? Me, you, Cleon, just there. Mike, we're all like, wait a second. Hold up.
Duncan, I love him. Yeah. So, yeah. Duncan, you get my first hat trick. Your first hat trick comes against
Kyle Larin.
Yeah. All right, guys. Rumor time. We hear a lot of rumors going on. Don't know if they're coming true or whatever, but you got some breaking news, don't you, Mike, that you might have some rumors about this? Tell us about this rumor that might be happening.
So, yeah, we obviously I mentioned the Brian Reynolds rumor earlier, former FC Dallas fullback. That one, of course, also had a rumor saying that, you know, he's not coming. He's going back to Belgium. But I got a rumor earlier today from the Sad FC Dallas Fans podcast. And they let me know that apparently they had made an attempt so far earlier this summer to sign a good friend, Junior Urso, and Orlando retains his rights, so we blocked the move. Obviously, we did not allow them to sign him. We were not willing to negotiate or trade his MLS rights to them in order to sign him. So this doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be signing Junior Urso, but I would say that this would be something that could be an indication that if he wants to come back, we're not willing to shut that door if a deal can be reached. So I don't know you can take what I have with a grain of salt, but that is something that I heard. And now we'll just kind of wait and see what happens from there.
And just to make it interesting that he is training with Orlando City. He's been in the training facility for the last 2 weeks. Got his ring for the U.S. Open Cup. And what was it yesterday with the Iron Lion firm? They had a little thing with the team yesterday. The day before. And Urso was there. He was in the picture also, along with the whole basically OCB and Orlando City. So some interesting news happening there. What do you think of that news, Eddie?
I think it's very interesting. No, my, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Yeah,
there you go.
I held it. I didn't cut off mic. It's there. They just come to me. But no, you know, I think Urso would I don't think he'd start, of course, right now with the double pivots doing so well. But I think it's good experience, big game player. We're gonna have a hard run in. It'll be great to add him, and it just seems weird to block a move if you're not going to, you know, keep him. Maybe there's a reason for it. Who knows? You know, Muzzi's was rated as a tough GM to work with by the opposing GM. So, you know, maybe he told his old club, you know what, shove it, you know, right now. So who knows? Even the Brian Reynolds thing. Don't forget that Oscar had a big hand in the academy. Brian Reynolds was an academy kid under Oscar. Now, I would love that move to happen, but the Urso thing seems to be the more possible move. So I think it'll be good. They just, like, I felt bad. Felipe followed me and liked the tweet when I said it's too big of a drop off when we go to Felipe. I didn't mean anything by it. Felipe's had a good career, but you know, he's older now. But yeah, there is a drop off. It's true. I stand by it. And Urso would be less of a drop off, or would be a good level. And you know, I could see him get on some Rafa Santos crosses in the box. And with this new Poppy, where we're not just going 1-0, having a guy like Urso come in, you know, for Mauricio, for other people, it's very useful. Remember, he's a versatile guy. He played all over the place for us last year. So I would like it on a short-term deal, you know, rest of the season. Agreed. For option, yeah, for next year or something like that. Because what people don't realize is he left, it was sudden. They were trying to – they had an option. They were picking him up. All intentions were he was going to be on the roster this year. That was not – they were not – he wasn't supposed to go. That was a situation that arose. The club is classy and did right by him and let him go. But he was supposed to be on the roster this year. They didn't just not re-sign him.
Yeah, and he is the locker room guy also. So let's not forget that. Every time you saw him in the locker room last year and then with the time with Nani and all that, definitely a very likable guy. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the videos of him when he got his ring, you know. Janssen goes, go sign him. We need to sign him, you know. And then Oscar giving him a big hug, like almost looked like he was crying when he saw him. So very likable guy in the organization. So it would be a great move. And I think, like you said, Eddie, if anything, I think this is the one that, you know, is the possible one that we could do. The Reynolds one, I don't think, you know, after reading the last report that just came out saying that he's, who did he sign with? Is it Bruges? Who was it that he just Granados? Signed? Bruges is for Granados. We'll talk about him in a second.
Reynolds. Westerloo.
Westerloo, yeah. So that's seen the reports that are coming out. Now
that's a team from Game of Thrones, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Talking about Granados, that's also some breaking news that we just heard. Tom Bogert, our good friend.
Tommy Scoops?
Yeah, Tommy Scoops, you know, Mike's best friend, came up with some news now that...
couple of Jersey guys? He's from Jersey, right, or no?
Who?
Yeah, I believe he's from Jersey. I'm not, though.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, don't get it twisted. All right.
couple Atlanta guys came, chopping it up.
he just came on stating that Alejandro Granados, the OCB Orlando youth player, basically has been sold for $2 million. Is that correct? $2 million?
$2 million.
The Club Bruges. Club Bruges in Belgium, which is a good team, actually.
They
make it to the Champions League mostly every year. So that would be a big in for people. $2 million is actually a lot of money for an academy kid. And I think it's a record deal for $2 million, right?
Yeah. So it came out today that it's a record deal for MLS Next Pro to sell a player. So from essentially that MLSB division, record sale of $2 million from there. And we apparently also have a sell on clause in it. And for us to get that for a 17-year-old kid who has played all of 4.5 minutes with the first team, you know, obviously I liked what I've seen from him with OCB. Kid has talent, but man, for that amount of money for that little of play, probably was just kind of a deal that they couldn't say no to, you know?
Well, he got big in the U17. What was it?
U17 European Championships with Spain.
Yeah.
Scored a banger.
Scored a banger. And so from there, I'm assuming a lot of teams in Europe, you woke up and saw who this kid is. And, you know, I guess Burg or whatever their names are.
Bruges.
Burger or whatever. Decided to give $2 million and said, hey, you know, and like Mike, you just said, you better jump on it right away. Because you never know. You know, this kid might become a flop, not saying that he will. And then there's $2 million. You got to learn from Benfica, you know, sell their players at so high and then they all suck when they go to the new teams. So that's what Orlando City needs to start doing. But yeah.
What if I could talk to that, JJ. Yeah. So Granados, I think it was Noah on Twitter who put that bomb, that banger he scored in Spain was a $2 million kick. You know, it really was. I mean, he came in a little bit for the first team and just looked the part. And he's someone that Javier Carrillo, who's now the technical, I mean, who's the head of the academy, the director of the OC Academy now. He talked about him years ago. I heard him mention, you know, watch out for this kid. And you know, he looks good. People like that. There's, you know, Spanish midfielders. He's just, you know, he's from Spain too, or his family's Spanish, whatever. People like that kind of profile, you know. You watch him play. He's got that little pausa that Spanish players have, and he's calm and left footed, you know. So it's got a lot of that profile, it's a good looking profile. And I like that they did the deal, man. That's, I mean, it's fantastic. Shout out to the Academy. Shout out to Javier. Shout out to OCB, Ricardo's the technical director. And shout out to Martin Perelman. These kids love that dude. He's really helping developing these kids to turn them into pros. OCB's got some guts and hearts. If you haven't been watching them, try to catch them. They just beat Atlanta down a man for like half an hour, came back and beat him. Wilfredo chipped a goalie from halfway for the winner, you know, and they got camaraderie. They're getting some fans there. You know, they're really building, and I'm just proud of their academy. And for us to go from barely having a 15 and a 17 to now the Wolves investing into the 12s and to younger and giving them more access and capabilities and facilities is great, especially in a league that's salary cap driven, you know, but $2 million is too much to pass on. Some people are like, I wish I saw him here. No, man, the homegrowns, they're valuable because we have a salary cap. But JJ, you know this too. And Mike, you know what I'm saying is that, like, in Benfica, yeah, you know, like the homegrowns, not a lot of them hit. You know, everybody gets really excited about a homegrown playing a little bit. The only homegrown who really had to play significance when Mason has had some moments in subs as a sub or in cup games. Mikey's had some moments, but we really haven't had a homegrown hit. Now the Academy is breeding it's breeding more talent now, but you look around the league, there's not a lot of homegrowns who hit. There's not a lot of homegrowns in Europe who hit. There are a couple. Marcus Rashford was a homegrown. Bukayo Saka, right? There are some guys out there who make it, but it's one or two per team. So when you have the opportunity to sell like a 17-year-old for $2 million and to have a sell-on clause on him, who knows what he turns into? It's great. It's a testament to MLS. It's a testament to Orlando City's academy. And you do that 100% of the time, unless you think this kid is just going to be some super duper duper star and he just can't be missed. It's a can't miss. Then okay, maybe not. But what are the odds of that? It doesn't happen a lot in MLS. And you have a sell on clause even if he does turn into a superstar. So I was stoked about that, man. I was excited.
I'm going to jump on your conversation there, Eddie, and I'm going to bring up the European, like you were saying, with Benfica and all them. So some names. Cristiano Ronaldo, Sporting Lisbon, mm-hmm. played 3 games, sold, came from the academy of Sporting, sold to Manchester United. Bernardo Silva played probably 10 minutes for Benfica in 1 game, then sold. You know, these guys are all homegrown and from the academy of these European teams. And then they just take off. They don't, you know, the money's there. They're going to sell them. You know, they see that they have potential, even though they could have been playing for their team, for Benfica, for Sporting or whoever, you know, they're going to sell them. They're going to get their money and let them be. But there's always a but. The sell-on clause. You never give the full pass to the team. So Sporting's still getting money, even though it might be 2% or 3% of whatever Cristiano Ronaldo gets sold for when he went to Real Madrid and all that for Man U and this and that. They're still getting money. Benfica, Renato Sanchez, João Félix, whatever, they're still getting 5%, 3% of whatever. They're always getting money from one of these guys. So that's how these teams make money. You know, when you get this big, $150 million, you know, sell for Cristiano Ronaldo to Real Madrid or whatever, you still get 5% to where they came from, to their, you know. So they're still making money. And for Orlando City to be doing that already, and for teams to be seeing our academy players and seeing, you know, and going to teams like, you know, where Granados is going, you know, that plays in the Champions League and everything, and having that sell on, because he could be a stud. End up playing in Barcelona, playing in Real Madrid, playing wherever, you know. And guess what? You're still going to get some money off of him. That's phenomenal. Continue doing what you're doing, Orlando City, the academy. That's how it's supposed to be. You're not going to have these players, you know, come up great players. They're going to be sold automatically. And you never know. If he doesn't make out, guess what? We just got the $2 million and instead of not getting anything for him, you know. So right. Definitely.
And other people are going to see this, and they're going to look at our player pool, They're going to say, who else can I? If a Granada goes and balls out somewhere else, someone's going to be like, man, let me go shopping at Orlando. Let me go to the outlets, you know, pick up a.
Yeah. People might see that and then take a look at the fact that Alex Freeman is the second leading scorer on OCB right now. You know, he's a fullback who's getting in and he's got goals and assists.
Athletic profile out of this world. That guy.
Yeah. That's the thing with him.
He's like a horse. Yeah.
He's off the charts as far as athleticism in my book.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of the, you're absolutely right. You know, people are going to take a look at him and then say, well, what else they cooking down there with that?
Right.
With that, those Cuban sandwiches and seafood, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's well, people got to understand and not get mad that we just sold this guy. And that's the bottom line is, first of all, this is a business.
Right.
And we've said this plenty. I've said it. And I know you have too, Eddie. We can't fall in love. We fall in love with the badge.
Right. Okay? Right.
This is basically a business. We love the badge, produced for the badge. Okay. Right. Now, if you get the money, say, for example, Duncan, now some team comes and offers $30 million. You better sell the ding boy. Okay. Yeah. You better sell him right now. You know, even though I love him, he scores, he does everything for us. But guess what? That money is coming to us for us to now try to sign other players and do better, you know? Right. So, and that's where people, it's very hard here with Orlando City fans. They become in love with the players. They become attached to these players where when they get sold or they leave or something, they don't understand this is a business, you know?
Yeah. Well, because it's not normal like that in other sports.
Huh?
In American sports. That's not the way it normally goes in American sports. You know, you
correct.
Just sell the rights. People have no trade clauses and all that. I mean, Don Dwyer did, but that's for another day. Yeah. I mean, people have no trade clauses and you handpick where you're going to go, et cetera. But you know, it's soccer. It's like you're selling cattle. They're like, bro, we got this little golden calf, you know, veal meat here. Spanish bull. Or Toro over here, Granados, and then we just sell them, and that's it. Pack your bags and go. And MLS Thanks is even more weird.
Look at MLS next.
Look at Ibarra or whatever. He was like, bro, they just told him to go to Toronto or whatever his name is in from Atlanta, right? He was like, what the heck? So it's even weirder here. But overall, you want to build this pool. You want to refresh it. You want to reinvest. And that's just how it is. That's why when people say, oh, well, Benfica's 11 if they didn't sell anybody. That's a waste of time. That's just what Benfica's going to do. You know? So, yeah, Stoke's best 11 or whatever. Now, they're going to replenish and they still find a way to compete. It's a business and you can't – your squad, you got to trim – the fact you sometimes you got to sell for profit. Sometimes you got to let go of someone because he has sell on value, and it's a testament to them for making it. Because Granados came out of nowhere. Let's not you know, people got to get over the emotions. Bro, did this kid walk in your house? You wouldn't know who he was. So let's not act like we need to cry because we sold him. You know, this kid, the idea, MLS is still MLS. People don't want to finish their careers here. They want to go to Europe. We made this. We should think of it as a positive. The club made money and made this kid's, this teenager's, not even an adult's, dreams come true already. Orlando City, the Javier, Martin, Ricardo, all of these guys made this kid's dream come true at 17 years old to play in Europe at a club that could be in the Champions League. That's phenomenal. And then they're going to say, where did he come from? Orlando. Just like where everybody was just tickled pink when they showed the Spanish roster and they showed, man, this kid, you know, he's playing with kids from Barcelona, Madrid, Atletico, right? And Sevilla, Valencia, and then boom, Orlando City. And, that was cool. Now, when he's out there for Club Brugge, Orlando City product, blah, blah, blah. That's just that exponentially exponentially does great things for the reputation of the club. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and two things that I kind of want to add on there. And one is just kind of piggybacking off of you on the fact that, you know, obviously with the exception of what might be happening at the retirement home down south, this we're not a retirement league anymore. You know, this is a league that people want to come to in order to, you know, kids are coming here from South America and other places in order to try and make that next step, that jump over to Europe. Because sometimes it's not so easy to make the jump from South America to Europe. So jumping from South America to a league here where they might be able to show off a little bit more and then go up there, it's something that's becoming a little bit more readily available. And something that you guys didn't mention that I kind of want to add in as well to that is obviously Granados wasn't on a homegrown contract yet. Granados is probably a player that would have been offered a homegrown contract because he would have qualified for it. But something that you got to remember is, yeah, he's a Spanish youth international, which means he also has a Spanish passport. He has a European passport. What that means as far as transfers go is he, if he's not signed to a contract with a like first division professional team, he'd have an option just as soon as he wants to, as soon as an offer comes, to just go once his contract's up.
Once he's at 18. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Once he's 18, because he's already got that passport. Those teams will sign him like that because he's eligible. So this might have been a move where we had an offer that we got a really great deal before the chance that we could have possibly just lost him for free, similar to the way that FC Dallas lost Weston McKennie. Because you got to remember, Weston McKennie never played a second for FC Dallas, but he was from their academy and he had access to a European passport and made a move to Europe right away.
Right. This is like signing a player, like selling a player on the last year of his contract, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know how they always say, like, you know, oh, players, this guy costs more because he's got 2 years left on his contract. And, you know, you got to sell him on before he gets on his last year and leaves on in Europe, where they call it a boss man, like a free agent. He essentially at 18, like Mike's saying, could have just gone off on a boss man, so to speak. And what would we have gotten? And also, I think this is an avenue too. One thing I want to explore, and JJ, we've talked about this since we started this podcast, is loans, you know, players from Europe get loans, and then it's getting some of these guys. Benfica throws $3 million at a player and then sells them for $50 million 3 years later to Liverpool, you know. Yep. And like, there's a pool out there. Let's get in the European pool. If we give them something, they might give us something back. Only time we saw it was Brandon Austin, and that was a bust. You know, let's not do it with Spurs players. I'm just kidding. No, they got good players, but that one didn't work out. And remarkably, he's still with Spurs somehow. But that one didn't work out. But I like that idea, and we haven't gone back to it. You know, let's get some. We haven't gone back to it in Europe. We've seen it in South America. We did a loan with Qatar for Wilder Cartagena. You know, with Angulo. And I'm not sure who else is on loan. We've done loans in South America, but I want to see loans and stuff in Europe. And if we have our kids go to Europe or be seen like that, or even on the national team for us, it can open up the possibility for loans elsewhere to come back to us and help reinforce our club too.
And I also just want to add to real quick that just the sell-on clause, getting that in there, to me, it's such a huge thing. I know you mentioned this earlier too, JJ, but Club Bruges is one of those clubs that is very, very well known for their youth development and being a feeder league in Europe to some of those bigger leagues. So if him getting in there at 17 and starting, maybe he doesn't do anything for the first year or stays with the B team for the first year, but he ends up finding himself in a situation where he's going to get good amount of playing time and stuff like that a year or two down the road. Like, that sell-on clause is going to be something that's going to potentially come in clutch for, because if we think that this kid's as talented as he is, you know, he might sell for $20 million. And if there's a 20% sell-on clause or something, that turns into a $6 million transfer for a guy that played 4.5 minutes for us. You know, you can't be mad at that.
You can't. Business. And going back to Eddie's point, you know, about loans, I mean, look at NYCFC, you know, they got a loan from Keaton Parks from Benfica. And guess what? He ended up being, and he's probably one of their best players, and he's been there for now, what, 3-4 years and everything, which Benfica loaned him, thought we were just going to loan him and come back to play, and ended up there. You know, especially now at the end of, you know, preseason in Europe, you know, all these players, that you can't have all these players on the team. So a lot of these European teams are going to start loaning out players, you know, for the year or for whatever. And let's hit that pool, you know. What is paying $600,000 or $500,000 for one of these, and probably not even that much, you know, paying their salary and get them on loan over here? Those are players that would be playing in the top, you know, teams in Europe, but they just don't have the spot for them. So, I mean, there's a lot of players out there. So I agree with Eddie. Let's head to the European pool and check them out. And remember, Angulo actually came from Portugal, came from Portimonense. You know, he was on loan there from Palmeiras, and then Palmeiras didn't, you know, put him on loan again here at Orlando City. So if Balmaidas is, you know, sending players over to Portugal now, you know, why don't we just pay for Angulo instead of keep on loaning? But hey, it's cheaper that way, I guess. And then the other thing was, I drew the blank, but it was in reference to something about loans also, but I just drew a blank on that too. But yeah, loans, I think, is a great idea, hitting that European pool. Oh, Mike, you were talking about, you know, South America players coming, you know, look at Granados, Spanish player, you know, Spanish passport. Where did he come? He didn't go to Barcelona. He didn't go to Real Madrid. He didn't go to the academies anywhere in Spain. He came to Orlando City, you know. So, hey, maybe even those Europeans are starting to come to the U.S., you know, because they see that they can't get into the Barcelonas or the Sporting Lisbons or the, you know, Real Madrids and things. So let's go across the pond to America and let's hit those academies and then let's do good. So it's not only South America. I think Europe, you're going to start seeing Europe heading over here too. A lot of the young kids, and there are a lot of the young kids, a lot of young kids, what they do is they do it through the college. They go to college. You know, Stetson, I know, has had a player that just signed with Santa Clara in Portugal. You know, João Montinho came from the Sporting Academy. Great academy. Ended up at Akron and made it into the MLS. So, yeah. I mean, you're starting to see a lot of Europeans also starting to come over here into the MLS, into the U.S. for, you know, to start their careers, basically, into the academies.
And people like living in America, too. They say, you know what, my wife, let's go live in the States and put our kid in Orlando City Academy. They're doing some stuff, you know.
Yeah,
he maybe doesn't get to the heights. Maybe Club Brugge is his level, but you have a nice life and he becomes a professional. There's nothing wrong with that. So,
yeah. And then there's professional players that live here in Orlando. You know, you got Rivaldo, you got players that former Brazilian players that live here that have kids. Never know, could put them in the academy also. Be big.
I bet Nani's kid will be in the academy once he comes back from, you know, his latest venture.
He already signed with Sporting, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
They made a big deal about it.
Fair enough. I don't blame him.
Locked up that signature early.
They had him signing the signature and everything. This was actually about a couple of weeks ago. I have to send it to you guys. Yeah.
Okay.
They made a big deal about it that his son signed.
Well, he's had a second kid, so, you know.
Maybe the second kid. Is it a female?
Girl. We get the girl
for the pride. So,
pride,
all right, talking about MLS and talking, you know, this thing came up yesterday about Cristiano Ronaldo stating that the MLS, the Saudi league is better than the MLS, but it was taken out of context. It was a Portuguese reporter asking him after he had just gotten beaten 5-0 to Celta Vigo of Spain, and asked him, you know, out of the blue, do you want to play in the United States? Because old man's there. I didn't want to say the name. And he goes, no, I'm not going to play in the United States. And he goes, why not? Messi's there. I'm going to say it. Messi's there. And he goes, no, the Saudi Arabian League is better than the MLS. So it was basically her pressuring him to talk in that way. I agree to disagree, like I said, on MLS. Yes, MLS, to me, Academy, and we just talked about it, is way better. They're way advanced in the Saudi League. But when you have the players that are going to the Saudi League right now still in their prime, then yes, the Saudi League is better than the MLS. I would take their best 11 players in the Saudi League right now and take our 11 best in the MLS, and I would guarantee the Saudi League would probably beat them. Now, talking about youth development, no, nobody's going to beat that in the MLS because those guys are going there to get the money, play, and get out of there. Where us here, that we develop them, we get them, and then we ship them out to Europe. Reggie Cannon, Weston McKennie, and Granados now, you know, list goes on. So, yes. In aspect, MLS is better than the Saudi League, but in the other aspect, if you're going right now for players that are in their prime, the Saudi League will definitely be better than the MLS. But how the media portrayed all this about Cristiano Ronaldo saying it, if you go to my Twitter, you'll see the video. It's in Portuguese. And then again today, you know, they pressed him again about, you know, him wanting to talk about bad things about Benfica, about his national team player Otavio and everything. So, and then he responded back, "You guys are getting me in trouble. You know, you guys are trying to get me in trouble, just like you guys stated yesterday that I say that I bring all the players in from Saudi Arabia. So the reporters are the ones that are bringing this up and everything. And if you look at it, you know, when they came out yesterday, it was just Cristiano Ronaldo said this, but nobody knew that it was actually a Portuguese reporter that was pushing it on him and everything. It made it onto Golazo, CBS Sports, all this stuff. So that, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that to get that out of my, you know, chest and everything. Cause yesterday I was like, well, I can't see him just saying that out of the blue, you know? And then finally today I saw, you know, the video and all that stuff. Eddie, you got any thoughts on this? And Mike?
This thing really just, it got blew up out of control. And you know, there's, it's not the religion podcast, but it's basically a scripture saying, if you hold your tongue, even the fool seems wise, you know?
Yeah.
Ronaldo talks and someone else doesn't talk, right? So that other person who doesn't talk is viewed as like a good person, etc., and all that. It doesn't mean he is. It's just this thing got blown up and it just became part of the narrative that got out of hand. Saudi's got more talent at the top end. They still need to develop some more. Mike, you had talked about how they had a team that went to the Club World Cup, the Club World Cup, right?
Yeah, they went to the final against Real Madrid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, which is the team that stacked up. So, but MLS, it's different, man. It's just like, I don't like comparing things all the time because, like JJ said, this is a team that's getting, a league that's getting some of the older guys at the end, like Ronaldo and Benzema and stuff like that. But it's also getting younger guys. Neves, Jota, those kind of guys, you know, are they're getting some younger guys too. And guys who we would be ecstatic to have an MLS, to be honest. But they're going there to get that paycheck, get paid, etc. And they over there live like a super fake life in these high rises and all these things and these compounds. You know, it's a whole different thing. Here, MLS is still a selling league. It's a league that's growing. It's a developmental league. It's two different things. It's apples and oranges, you know. Saudi have better players, yes. If they get their all-stars as ours, if they beat us, yes, I think so. But it's just, I don't care. I don't even know how to watch the Saudi league. MLS, I enjoy for what it is, which is more of a developmental league. And things like Ronaldo's being sold and other players going to Europe and stuff like that is exciting for me.
Yeah. What about you, Mike? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so kind of just going off of what Eddie's saying there, and I agree with a lot of that sentiment. And looking at what they're spending on transfer fees and salaries and everything like that, they're a league that just has more investment capabilities than MLS does because of the way that MLS is structured. So yeah, they're going to have people that are going to be there. And honestly, if Ronaldo said that and meant it, you know, and it wasn't misconstrued, I wouldn't even fault him for that. I mean, they're paying him what, $200 million per season. Like he's got to say that. Like, I wouldn't blame him one bit. But I actually did the math. There's a site that kind of has like some salary information out there. So I kind of took what I could. And I looked at Al Ittihad, which is one of the bigger teams over there. They just signed Jota from Celtic, Karim Benzema from Madrid, and they also added, N'Golo Kante from Chelsea. I believe they had six players on their roster that would be above the DP threshold for earning over, you know, $1.6 million per season. And then they had, of their 27 roster, there was only three players on it that were earning or reportedly earning what would be a, you know, senior player salary in MLS. Everyone else would have been like a high TAM player, if you guys understand that. So basically a TAM player would have been earning $1.65 million per season. That's where the majority of their players are. Obviously the way that MLS is structured, we're limited on being able to pay people that amount of money. So, the lower end players there are still making a lot more money than we're making here. But at the same time, I think that like the cheaper talent that we have in this league, at times could be considered better because we are getting more younger developmental players, like Eddie's saying. Because that's one of the things that I've said about the Saudi League, as we've had these comparisons and whatnot. You don't have 20-year-old South Americans wanting to go to Saudi Arabia to learn how to play or to help them make that jump over to Europe. We do have that happening in America, and that's been happening across the league for quite a while, especially with the implementation of the U22 initiative. That's something that's kind of helped teams lure those players if that's the way that they want to build the roster, which is something that, you know, Orlando City has been pretty effective in doing. Especially with Ramiro Henrique and even more especially Cesar Araujo. Those are two excellent uses of it. Unfortunately, we haven't seen as much out of Gaston Gonzalez because of injury, but we still see the flashes of what he can be. But yeah, you know, that's to me, that's the big difference. Is I feel like they just have more money because they have less restrictions. So they're getting more higher end talent, but their middle and lower end talent isn't around where MLS is, because MLS is a selling league, whereas Saudi Arabia is a destination league.
And then the other thing is it's phases. I mean, yeah. Remember about 6 years ago, China, everybody wanted to go to China. Everybody wanted to play, from Oscar to Hulk to everybody. Everybody wanted to go to China because that's where the money was, and everybody
all
wanted
the Avengers.
You know, now what's China? China's nothing. Now it's Saudi Arabia. So, and then just remember also, Saudi Arabia is trying to get the World Cup in Saudi Arabia, and that's why they're doing this, because they're trying to bring all these players so they can promote the World Cup and try to get the World Cup in 2030. So that's the main reason why they're doing all this stuff. So
yeah, no, you're not wrong. That's definitely going to be a big factor of it. And I had something else that I was going to say based off of what you were saying, but it just completely escaped my brain.
Man, we went down the Granados rabbit hole. We're like half, like half the ball. We got shout outs, everybody. I think we're gone.
All right, shout outs. Real quick, Eddie, any shout out?
I had one. I forgot it.
You know? Yeah, everybody, we all forget it.
I probably said it already. Oh man, you know, shout out to Brad Guzan. Is it a rivalry now, you nerd? human knob, human thumb. You know, yeah. Oh, it's not a rivalry. Yeah, Duncan made you sit down like a clown. So yeah, he looked like those Ronald McDonald clowns at the old McDonald's, just like sitting there on the bench. You know, just fell over like a dork. So, yeah, so how's that rivalry for you, Brad Guzan? Not Guzman. JJ turned him into a Puerto Rican all of a sudden. Guillermo Guzan over there.
The Brad Guzman.
Yeah. All right.
Mike, your shout out.
I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to this is going to be a couple people in it, but I feel like Oscar Pareja, Luis Muzy, Ricardo Moreira, Martin Perelman, Javier Carrillo, all of them deserve a shout out for what the academy is becoming. And I feel like that's 100% deserved. Obviously, we're talking about Granados for a lot longer than I think we all planned to. But Granados doesn't happen if those guys aren't in the positions that they're in. You know, we're not seeing our academy competing in tournaments against international competition if we didn't get those people in place. Because if we don't have those people in place, we might still not have an academy, or we might still be trying to feed off of Montverde for as long as we possibly can. So,
good, good call. And shout out to the Wolves too, because they put money into it since they came over. Yeah, remember we only had the 15 and 17s. It's growing more and more. I think they had like nines out there the other day or something. You know,
they got four-year-olds now.
Ricardo, yeah,
Ricardo with the U4s.
Joao Moreira, watch out for little
Joao Moreira is the next one. Joao Moreira is the next one we're selling to Europe. All right,
imagine the montage if he actually like comes to Orlando, because we've literally been watching him kick since, you know, he was in diapers, you know, since he's been here. So that'll be the most amazing montage.
All right, so my shout out goes to Harrison Heath. Harrison, my good friend.
God.
Heath.
Oh God.
Oh. I want to say, actually, no, I'm going to say Kaylin Kyle. Shout out to her. I mean, to have a husband like you have that lets you do all the stuff that you do, man. I mean, you were on Saturday just all, I mean, the saliva was coming out of your mouth when you were seeing the name Messi every 2 seconds. And then to see the picture that on Sunday of you and Messi, man, where's Harrison for all this? You know,
where do you think took the picture?
No, Harrison was taking care of the kids at home at Minnesota or wherever they live, because he's the assistant coach, I think, now for the Minnesota United or technical whatever. So got to give props to Kalen to have a basically just have the husband at home doing everything, taking care of the kids while she's out saliving and partying and having a good time with Messi. And, you know, Messi looked very uncomfortable in that picture. He's like, damn, who the heck is this tall girl standing next to me? But I got to give a shout out to, you know, Harrison Heath and Kalen Cowell. Great relationship you guys have. I mean, she was just, saliva was coming out, you know, be careful. If you listen to Den After Dark, it was a little bit more rated R than what I'm talking about here. But
also shout out to Den After Dark. It was really good this week after the Atlanta win. We had a lot of good people on there, so it was a good time too.
Yeah, for sure. Those of you who listen who aren't on Twitter, just get on Twitter for the Den After Dark. You know, it's just the best place to have the spaces. You don't have to. If we do a live, you have to look at our faces. So we do the spaces. We're doing these at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30. You know, so join in. They're a lot of fun.
You'll get some drunk people. You get some sober people. You get some high people. You get whatever. You get everything.
You get some family. Everything. You get some family members of the team, of the coaches, every little bit of everything in there.
So, all right, guys. Well, Den After Dark. Don't forget, after every game, Den After Dark, probably half an hour to 45 minutes after, depending on when myself or Swag or Mike decide to, or even Eddie decides to pull. Yeah, let's start. So check us out this Friday.
Everybody but Cleon.
Yeah, Cleon.
He'll never do it.
He'll never do it. But Den After Dark. Also check us out on social media. We're everywhere from Twitter to Facebook to Instagram. Big shout out to the peeps that do it. Thank you, guys. And don't forget, we're also on that new one, Instagram's new one. What is that called?
Threads. But we're there, but we're not there yet, you know,
because we're not there, but we're there, but we're not there.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's falling apart because who knows? Alex DeJohn, just Papa John just followed me, Alex DeJohn on it. So I don't know why he followed me, but he followed me. But hey, so let's go this week. We got Houston League Cup, 8 o'clock, Exploria Stadium. Make sure you're there. Let's kick some butt. Let's start off this League Cup good and let's win it and let's win this League Cup. Till next week, guys. Vamos to Orlando.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.